and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Well, friends, if you hadn't already, I'll encourage you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 43. So we'll be spending time with these verses that Stacy was able to read for us. A couple things I want to say up top. It is good to see people in the room. I wish that everyone that's watching online could be here through multiple services all day, and we just knew that wasn't possible. And so if you're watching online, I want to reiterate that we were not going to put together a John Wayne or Lauren VIP list and try to select favorites to be here. We started with our volunteers and critical persons in the vine just as a way of not trying to be selective across the board. And so I'm excited about this soft step in the direction of where KUMC is going and more people being able to gather and be together. I hope for those of you that are here but also watching, we would love to see you as you drive through tonight if you're able to be there for that drive-by at 6 o'clock. One of my brothers in prison ministry has told me that drive-bys have different connotations in other settings. So hopefully this is a friendly version of the drive-by, but we would love to see you later on. Let me give you just a little bit of background on this text. I do have a crying towel. Hopefully I don't need it. But let me give you some background on this text before we get going. Isaiah 43 is one of my favorite texts, and I think you'll see why today. The tension and movement in the book of Isaiah is palpable and it's rich. If you've ever spent time in the book, if you haven't, I encourage you to do that later on. I mean, you could spend a lot of time in Isaiah. It's very large. For the first 39 chapters of the book, Isaiah the prophet is warning the people of the looming threat of Babylon. They are comfortable, they are complacent, they are even complicit in their downfall. And Isaiah is jumping up and down like a madman saying, I know your bank accounts are full and things are okay right now, but things are going poorly. Like, we need to pay attention or it's going to go bad. And they just respond much too late. And they go into the darkest wilderness, one of the darkest wildernesses that you'll ever see, as they are in the hands of Babylon and taken into exile, and everything that they know is burned to the ground. I mean, one of the worst wildernesses that you can imagine. Then the book takes a turn in Isaiah chapter 40. The promises of God from the wilderness emerge. They are coming out of the wilderness to promises of hope, of blessing, of restoration. I know that y'all are probably ready to get out of this wilderness, right? We're ready to get to chapter 40. We're ready to turn this corner. I know that I can resonate that with that as well. And so this is just the right text for us to look at as we move from the wilderness and we grow expectant to what God is going to do before us. This Isaiah 43 is one of the promises that God is putting before the people of Israel, and I think it will speak into our context today. He's going to make strong statements. God is going to make strong statements about himself, the promises before them, and what is to come. But before we get too far, let's pray together. God, I give you thanks again for your presence in this space and for those that are joining with us today. For your strength, for your peace, for your comfort, as we are able to gather in some fashion, but even in the midst of trials and difficulties, here you are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would add your blessing to the reading of this scripture, your holy word. Where we are empty, would you fill us? Where we are weak, would you strengthen us? Where we are wrong, would you correct us? And would you send us out once more? God, I pray for myself that you would speak through me or in spite of me, but may it be your message that's delivered. We love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen. First thing I want to tell you about in Isaiah 43 is God's protection for God's children from the elements. And you'll see why this is important. As I thought about the last 5 years of our time here, 5.5 years at KUMC, this is the text that God put on my heart. And I didn't realize how timely the whole chapter would be for our season of life and what is to come. The reason why this text came to me is because I believe KUMC understands it well to have God's provision protect us from the elements. We have learned the hard way that the elements, like the rushing waters and the rivers, will not overtake us. We have learned that God will continue to bring us through the waters, quite literally for some of us, in this season that we've been together. And what a ride that we have been on together. We have seen pastoral transitions that are not small ones over the last several years in our church. We have seen the death of a loving senior pastor way too soon. We've walked through Harvey, where I still tell people around the country in ministry what it was like here in this place was, it was not unlike other places, but in some ways it was. And we saw hundreds of people in our own church lose their homes and their businesses. For myself, that was an amazing, hard, difficult, fortifying time in my ministry because I got to find out what it's like to keep boundaries or not keep them well enough, and I got to the place of feeling what burnout might look like. Many of us, and myself included, led teams out of to muck homes for 2 months straight, 7 days a week during that season. This is before we had kids, so we had a little more flexibility during that season. And this is where I learned about those boundaries and how important they are. I remember crying after every home visit, and I didn't know why. Just small things. And later on, I realized that every time I walked away from a home visit, I was putting something else on my shoulders and carrying it with me. I'm thankful for the lessons that God has taught me, but also has taught this congregation as he has protected us from the elements, as he's led us through these things. I appreciate how resourceful and how committed this church was. Resiliency is something that was born in that time around this community, and it continues in many beautiful ways. And it was needed because Imelda comes and floods much of the same homes and the same neighborhoods and puts our church again back in a place of trying to help and serve and respond. There's been storms in our families. Lauren and I have had family storms to endure in many ways, some that we've shared with you and some that we haven't. This has been the middle of a trying season with my brother spending time in prison and figuring out what it is to walk through that, but also figuring out what it is for God's protection in the midst of it. Our journey with kids, we're here at KUMC. Goodness, that can be a wilderness at times, right? This will be forever the church that nurtured us in this time of learning about family and what it means to walk alongside each other. This is a season where we here at KUMC had to walk through one of the most trying things that we may ever face. When our son's life was in the balance leading up to a diagnosis with type 1 diabetes. And in that season, you came alongside us and loved us and helped us. You were God's provision from the elements so that we could keep walking, so that we could keep believing and keep trusting. I think we're going to look back and see this time, these years together, as one of the most formative and challenging moments of our marriage. And I'm thankful that we could come out better because of it, because of our support and the way that God loved us through you. We went to school, we graduated, we got ordained, we went back to school again, right? We're in the middle of that. This has been difficult, trudging, hard, and challenging, but you've been with us. Reminders of that as I cleaned my office out this week, finding cards that you wrote us that meant so much to me that I didn't want to lose or forget, so I stashed them in places on my bookshelf, or I had them, and I was finding those this week and being reminded of the way that God has called me by name, as Isaiah 43 says, through you and through your encouragement. But listen, church, God was not just protecting us from the elements, was he? No, he was forming us along the way. James 1:2 is one of my life verses as well, and it's one that even in the last season, God has been helping me to understand what it means. I've loved it. It sounded good, right? But in the midst of wilderness, this is when we start to understand it. I want you to see it. Look at James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. See, God was not just protecting us from the elements, but he was helping us to build up perseverance. And when that perseverance works, when we respond in trust, when we keep walking in the wilderness, it brings about fruit. And it has been in those moments when we have trusted God with everything that we have that fruit has been produced and the kingdom has been built and Jesus has been on display all around us, showing us that he's not a God that just helps us to survive the elements, but he forms us in the process. And we've seen amazing things happen, haven't we? There's many that I could lift up. Even Chris was reminding me of the moment when we came into the new building, right? And it's not about the building. The building's amazing. But the way that we came together and read through the whole Bible that week and prayed throughout the building and said, nothing else matters if we don't stand on the word of God at KUMC. And to start that season that way. There's a vital prayer movement that's, I think, just at the beginning. It's just percolating here at KUMC. There's been a group of women that have been praying for this to happen for many years, and now it's starting to form in amazing ways. From One Church One Day, where we pray with all churches around the city of Houston, across the world in different ways, to prayer and worship night that's happening, and people are gathering monthly to confess to what Jesus is doing, to share and witness to the way that we're getting healed and the way that we're being set free and to go deeper into who he is, to the prayer team that happens right here on Sunday morning, small groups, more life group movement. We started with a group of people, some of you, many of you, maybe all of you, are in the room, that first group that I basically lied to you, shoved you in a door, locked it, and then led you through the class meeting trying to convince you that this is what something we needed to try. And starting with that first group that I so deceived, we have multiplied to 14 or 15 groups, over 150 people, and that's all fine and good, but what is inside of that are people's lives truly being transformed? I got a letter this week from someone that says, I've been in church for 50 years. I've been in Emmaus groups. I've been in Sunday school, but there's something different about the Mortal Life group. There's something different about what's happening as we gather. What about Vine? Vine Worship Community. In the last 5.5 years since we have been here, we have seen amazing things go from one service, a couple of dozen, 50 people, to at one point, hundreds of people in two services every single week. But it's not about those numbers for me. What it comes down to are the people that are serving every single week. The home team and the prayer team and the tech team and the band and everyone that's involved. We've gone from like begging for people to help out on Sunday morning to 25 or 30 people serving every single week. The prayer team are laying hands on people every Sunday and praying for healing and seeing it take place. Praying for a movement of God in people's lives, praying for restoration. It's taking place here. And the band and the work that God's done through Ryan and the band members and everyone that's there has been something so amazing to watch and to see. Because the band, listen, from the beginning, we said that the number one priority is not to be the best technical band in the region, though they are really good. But we want to put people and equip them to be a part of what God's doing in this world. And so they've tripled, they've quadrupled, they've got all of these people that are a part of worship around us. The home team, there's numbers of people holding doors and getting ready to greet people and to be around them, to welcome them in. From the very beginning, we heard from all of you that this was a place that we call home. So you think we accidentally called them the home team? No, we wanted to be a place that would open up our home doors so that folks could come in and experience home. More than even that, though, for me, this growth is indicative of this, the spiritual growth of our community. I could go person by person in this room. I can even picture when we're full, those of you that aren't in here, where you sit and what's going on. And I just think about all of the amazing things that I've heard Christ doing in your life recently. God leading folks towards the profound love of God and the profound love of people and the movements of grace. It has been such a joy in my life to be a part of baptisms and weddings and celebrations of life, struggles, heartbreaks, and victories. But dang, the greatest privilege has been to see you walk with Jesus and to share that journey with me. To see you reflect Christ. Here's the thing though. There's even more than that. God doesn't leave us in the wilderness to be formed. There's a promise on the other side. There's more than our own endurance. There's more than just survival. There's something on the other side of the wilderness. Look what God says to Israel in verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. He says, church, remember, I am the one who carried you through the sea. I am the one who defeated your enemy. And they'll never get up again. I am the one who rescued you. Then God says the most powerfully ironic thing in the whole chapter in verse 18. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Don't, what, God? You just told us all of these things to remember. Don't dwell on the past. Look forward and check out the next verse in verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Church, check out the juxtaposition here. The God who brought Israel through the sea is now going to bring water to the wilderness. He's not just going to help them get through the obstacle, which God does in our time sometimes, but that's not all he does. He's going to transform the obstacle. He's going to make the desert a garden of abundance. He's going to make it a place of provision and blessing for generations. This is what God says. I did this here, and I want you to remember it, but I'm going to do a new thing over here. That's our God. That's the God we serve, the God of resurrection, who says, yes, I'm going to walk with you through this valley, but listen, I'm not just going to walk through the valley with you, I'm going to transform it, because I'm bringing life where there is death. And that's what God is doing.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
What that means to me is that the past can teach and illustrate us, but it must not bind us. See, friends, welcoming Jeremy and Erica into the family is welcoming another way for God to move, a new way for God to move. Y'all, I know these are strange times. We're all sitting in mass in the room right now. But I truly believe that KUMC is on the precipice of seeing the wilderness turn to abundance. Our perseverance has been built up. Our endurance has been built up with all that we've been through. But still, this transition is hard. There is no doubt that it's unsettling and it's difficult. There's no doubt in my mind, in my heart, that leaving KUMC right now is difficult for us. For some of you, that may be hard as well. Maybe some of you are thanking God, but keep that to yourself. This time of COVID are experiencing the unsettling reality that racial equality has never actually been a reality in our country, or that this country continues to be so polarizing that there's always these two sides of everything and there's no way to talk to each other. There's no verifiable truth in our world anymore. Everything is up in the air. It's chaos. There's a transition in our denomination that we've almost forgot with the crazy year of 2020, which 2020, you are drunk, go home, right? We are in a neutral zone between what was and what will be. William Bridges says the neutral zone is painful, but is the individual's and the organization's best chance to be creative, to develop into what they need to become, and to renew themselves. I quote from Bridges now. The neutral zone is thus both dangerous and an opportune place. And it is the very core of the transition process. It is the time when repatterning takes place. Old and maladaptive habits are replaced with new ones that are better adapted to the world in which the organization now finds itself. Now hear these words, church. It is the winter into which the roots begin to prepare themselves for spring's renewal. It is the night during which we are disengaged from yesterday's concerns and preparing for tomorrow's. It is the chaos into which the old form dissolves and from which the new form emerges. It is the seedbed of the new beginnings that you seek. So maybe we're in a neutral zone. And in the neutral zone, you have to ask yourself, what is happening in this chaos? What's happening in myself? What's being formed in me? And what's being formed in us? I want to close with a few things. These three ideas, or maybe prayers that I have for KUMC. I believe that these ideas are necessary for perceiving the new thing on the other side of the wilderness. And church, I know we're going to go late, but it's my last Sunday, so get over it. The first one is don't settle for an imitation. Know Christ. Don't settle for an imitation. Do not settle for mediocrity. This is my hope from our time together, that in small ways we have walked with Jesus together. But this is my hope moving forward, that you will not settle for the form of religion and not know the power of the transformative work of Jesus in your life. Don't settle for religion when Christ is here and he's in our midst. In Kentucky, Lauren and I were really close with his family. They were basically our youth group. It really was like one family. So we just hung out with them all the time, every week. Well, one time we were talking to them about ice cream. And of course, as a good Texan, I evangelized Bluebell as well as Jesus. And so Bluebell comes up, and much to our astonishment, this family had never tried Bluebell ever. And so we thought we would introduce it to them. And it was amazing to see them try it for the first time. We thought we would make like Coke floats and do some fun things. They started to just eat out of the carton once they had tasted the real thing. Church, once you have tasted the real thing, you can't go back to the imitation. And some of us in this room have tasted and seen. I think a lot of us, or most of us, have. So don't go back and settle for the cheap stuff. Don't go back and settle for the imitation. This is my story. I only knew the imitation. I grew up in church. I only knew religion. I didn't know Jesus, and my faith was dead. And when things crumbled, I was found left with this mediocre, shallow form of religion. And this is what drives me. And I hope that you see it now in my passion and eagerness for the gospel. It's not emotionalism. It is a conviction at my best, when I'm at my best. It is a conviction and a motivation that more would know the real thing, that more would know Jesus himself, the King, the Lord of Lords, the one who is alive, the one who walked out of the grave, the one who has walked out of the grave so that you might also know life. Do not settle for the imitation. You can know Christ personally, and you can know the work of Christ in your life and through your life. And this is what we will offer to all that we encounter. And friends, hear the last plug you'll ever have to hear from me about Mortal Life groups. But you need a Mortal Life group. You need a small group. You need someone, even if it's not a Mortal Life group, if it's an Emmaus group or a Sunday school, you need somebody, you need a group of people that know you, that know your secrets, that know your sin, that know your vulnerabilities, that know what you're walking through and being challenged by in your life. You need people to walk alongside you. And I know it's hard, and I know it's awkward, and I know it's difficult to get there, but what happens there is truly transformative. Andrew Thompson talks about the class meeting, which is what we call Mortal Life groups, as a means of grace whereby what takes place within them cannot be replaced without the characteristics of the form. What that means is that it doesn't have to be a class meeting, but the characteristics of a class meeting, of people sharing their faith weekly, not just the shallow stuff, but sharing what they're going through, walking through that, walking through the ups and downs, that right there cannot be replaced by other shallow mechanisms. You need someone to walk alongside this journey with you, because there's so much more that Christ is inviting you to in your life. And secondly, my prayer, and I think our hope to see what, to perceive what is next, is to be marked with humility and repentance. My prayer for you and my prayer for me is that we would be marked by humility and repentance. And this may feel like a random one-off. It is not. It is probably one of the most important things that I share with you. I pray that you, individually, and myself, corporately, we would continue to humble ourselves and yield to Christ. I want to share some words from a New Testament commentary. Those that have been with me on my Colossians study have heard, we talked about this a little bit recently, but this is from Gupta. He writes about Colossians and New Testament commentary, but he shares the words of G.K. Chesterton, one of the great apologists of the last era. And this is the words that they both share together. We are to seek an upside-down kingdom, so to speak. Reminds me of the poignant poem by G.K. Chesterton titled Gloria in Profundis, which means glory to God in the lowest. In this poem, Chesterton sets up a vertical dichotomy. Mortals presume that life is about gaining power and renown by ascending. Right? We have this in our sin, in our flesh, that we need to go up. That's how we gain power. The incarnation instructs us, however, that true glory is revealed in Christ's own descent and lowness. The first line of Chesterton's a hymn goes this way. There has fallen on earth for a token, a God too great for the sky. What a paradox this is, right? An infinitely massive God who cannot even be contained in the heavens decides to come to this little place called earth. Later, Chesterton's choral voice scoffs at the proud when he writes, "Who rears up his head for a crown? Who holds up his will for a warrant? Who strives with the starry torrent when all that is good goes down?" See, just before the last stanza of the poem, Chesterton compares Christ to the evil fallen angels. They wanted so badly to overthrow their master that they fell all the harder. In their insolence, confused with hunger for power, they have spent their energy only digging themselves deeper into rebellion and depravity. Alternatively, God the Son has led the way by humbling himself instead of exalting himself. The last stanza that Chesterton writes is this: "But unmeasured of plummet and rod, too deep for the sign to scan, outrushing the fall of man is the height of the fall of God." New Testament theology is quite consistent with Chesterton's. All that is good goes down. One cannot boast of their religion while also trying to care deeply for fellow believers. One of the most exhausting things for me in this racial reconciliation, all that has blown up before us and everything that's going around, is the insistence of church people to boast about their religion instead of listening to those that are hurting and walking through difficulty. When we boast about our religion, we are the two men that are in the temple. Thank God I'm not like that man. We have to listen by going low and being humble. A life choice must be made in this journey. There is great blessing and benefit from being hidden with Christ, but there is also responsibility for believers to become like him, to go low as he does, especially in his lowness for the sake of others. There's double meaning in Chesterton's poetic title. Many of you probably caught on to this, Gloria in Profundis. It is obviously a reversal of the familiar Gloria in Excelsis, Glory in the highest. True believers give glory to a Christ who descended, but Gloria in Profundis could also be translated glory to God in the depths. That is, there is a bottomless richness to God's glory because of the work of Christ in the incarnation and the crucifixion. Here's an illustration. Coaches all the time, when they brag about players or brag about athletes, they talk about sometimes their coachability, right? If they'll be humble, if they'll be formidable, if they'll listen to the instructions, then they're coachable, right? They can take on these lessons and they can learn. We in Christ are not called just to be coachable. When we are humble and when we yield to Christ, we are fillable. When we are humble and we repent and we push away the things that don't belong in us, we are fillable by his Holy Spirit that transforms our life and sends us out into the world. Marked by humility and repentance so that you will be hidden with Christ and become like him as well. And finally, my prayer and what I think is the way that we can perceive what is before us is that we would enter into missionary dreaming. Perceiving a way in the wilderness, streams in the wilderness, takes imagination. I'm not talking about pretending. I'm talking about the people that have the prophetic imagination to see things before it materializes, right? You know, the people that are so filled with hope that it's almost exhausting. You're like, everything stinks. And they're like, no, wait, hang on. God's at work that is before us. This is what we're called to be. I'm talking about the people that looks at the racial divide in our world and says, no, not on our watch. I'm talking about the people who are missionary dreamers that are going to look at the foster and adoptive care system and said, nope, not anymore, not in my backyard. Or I'm talking about the tens of thousands of people right in front of our noses in Kingwood that do not know Christ. We may feel like there's a church on every block in Kingwood, but if you do the basic math of worship attendance across those churches, there are people right next door, in the cubicle next to us, on the soccer field, all around us that do not know the real thing. And there's many more that are walking under the imitation. If we're going to be missionary dreamers, we need to live in the mission field. Do something bold that you cannot afford. Do something that will fail unless God shows up. My favorite mission organization this time at KUMC was Mission of Hope Haiti. Got to go over there a few times. They have this mission statement that's ridiculous. Their mission statement is reach every man, woman, and child for the sake of Jesus Christ in Haiti. What a bold statement. It's all they talk about. It's all that they do. And you know what? They're doing it. Through school feeding, school curriculum, through orphan care, through churches, with water, with medical care, with sports. They have built partnerships through every fabric of culture and society with teachers, pastors, business owners, politicians, community leaders at one of the poorest country and one of the poorest nations in our world. What if KUMC saw her mission field in the Northeast Houston area that way? What if we were less mission trip minded and more missionary minded? To not just do these flybys on the weekends when it's convenient or the sports schedules allow it. Listen, God is not a God of maintaining. Yes, he brings daily bread, manna from heaven for Israel's needs, but once they are formed, he brings them into the promised land. He is walking with you and he is giving you what you need in this wilderness, but God is going to do a new thing. Will you perceive it? What's next for KUMC? I don't know. And I won't be a part of the next chapter. And that's okay. Today that hurts a little because of our love for you, KUMC. But this feeling we have right now, this chaos of everything that's around us, the change, the unknown, it is dangerous, but it is also wrought with potential. What I do know is that COVID is a game changer. Look around if you don't believe me. It feels like the other end of this trek, though, for us that have been building up our perseverance, that have been enduring through everything that is going on around us. Time and time again, God has reminded us over the last several years about what is most important and what doesn't matter anymore. Whether it's through storms, whether it's through pandemics, whether it's through everything that we've seen around us or the hardships that we find in our church or in our communities, he continually reminds us what's most important as he forms us and shapes us, as he calls us by name and leads us through the waters, but on the other side, he's going to do a new thing. See, church, when he says forget the former things, it's not about forgetting history. It's about not allowing ourselves to be shielded from what is to come by thinking about what used to be. I know that the neutral zone, this place that we find ourselves, it can stink, but it is a seedbed for life. Don't settle for the imitation. Seek humility and repentance as a primary characteristic of your faith. And let's re-envision the mission field again. KUMC, thank you for loving the McMahons so well. I hope you know my love for you. More than that, thank you for your commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for helping me with my own imagination to see what God's doing around us. Finally, thank you, Jesus, for your church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, I thank you for these people. But I'm thankful most of you, the work that you've done in good times and difficult ones. And I'm thankful for what's to come. This next season, I just feel like it's something to be excited about. And so God, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on those that are in the room, those that are watching, that you would call us all deeper into you so that when moments or callings arise, we would say yes. God, we are your church. Send us into the world. We love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church in the room, I want you to stay put. I'm going to give a benediction for those online. We'll sign off after the benediction. Everybody here just needs to stay put for a couple minutes. Friends here and friends that are online, know that God is the one that goes before us. He is already at work in the new thing. And his question of do you perceive it is the question that we just need to keep on the front of our minds as we go. I pray that you would know the power of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit today and in the days to come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let all God's people say, amen. We'll see you next time.